Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, headlines on Softy and Dick on a Monday night are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
We got games in the NBA as we speak. Magically, the Pistons 105-91. The Warriors in the Avengers game lead the Pelicans 66-54 at the half, behind 21 already from Steph Curry. Hawks up on the Blazers 58-54. Late second quarter, Lillard's got 12 for the Blazers as we speak.
I'll have to ask how many Marvel points Steph Curry has scored, because I have an 11-year-old that was locked into that game when I went upstairs. Seahawks have declined the fifth-year option on running back Rashad Penny, which would have guaranteed him $6.5 million over the next two seasons. Falcons exercising the fifth-year option on Calvin Ridley, and the Bills do the same on Pro Bowl quarterback Josh Allen.
How about this? Malik McDowell's back in the NFL, signing a one-year contract with the Cleveland Browns, and the Dodgers have lost starting pitcher Dustin May for the rest of the year with Tommy John surgery. Denver and Lakers tonight, by the way, coming up at 7 o'clock. LeBron James will not play. Lakers have lost 6 out of 7. LeBron is out to rest his ankle. Joining us right now on the air, former defensive coordinator at Washington State, here to talk about Trey Brown from Oklahoma, a guy who could not get the Apple Cup done, but he's producing big-time talent in Norman. Alex Grinch, how are you, pal? What's going on?
Yeah, we never cracked that code in our time out there.
You know what? You're doing some great things in Oklahoma, man, for sure. But Trey Brown, cornerback, picked up in the fourth round by the Seahawks over the weekend. When you hear the name Trey Brown, what are the first maybe memories, thoughts that kind of pop into your head?
Yeah, I think from an attribute standpoint, he has speed, and it's both, you know, in track spikes, and it's also displayed on the football field. So the film, you know, kind of confirms, you know, what you see at a pro day, which sometimes that's not always the case with guys. From an attribute standpoint, I mentioned that, and I think, you know, for us, you know, at the stage that we play on, not dissimilar to, you know, those programs that you mentioned in the state of Washington, the lights are bright. You're going to play in some rivalry games. You know, we play one down in Texas at the Cotton Bowl, 4 overtimes. Someone has to make a play, and Trey Brown, you know, makes it to win us a football game. It's thumbs up or thumbs down at that point. There is no in between. Someone is going to have to, be the guy that does that for you on one side of the bar or the other. And Trey did that for us. And you fast forward to the Big 12 championship this year down at Cowboy Stadium in Dallas. It's a, you know, 2-minute drive for the opponent. And in that moment, same thing. They're going to make a play. We're going to make a play to secure victory. And Trey Brown comes up with another interception. So has made some really big plays in his time here at an elite level of college football.
Coach, Trey said in his press conference that he had a coach that told him, if you aren't getting penalties, you aren't being aggressive enough. And he says he thinks he took it a little too literally. Was that coach you, or was it the DB's coach? And will that be difficult to coach out of him?
Well, it's certainly top down, so I'll take credit for it. Mm. And I think what it amounts to, as much as anything, is, you know, we have the tagline, passive is a myth. And the idea that if you just stay on top of a guy, all things are going to be positive at the end of the down. And, you know, oftentimes that's not the case. Whether you're sitting there watching guys catch footballs on you, or you do nothing to impede the receiver's ability to run the route that was drawn up by the coordinator on the board. And so, yep. You know, in our system, you know, Trey was asked, essentially, to be on an island. He had to play the number one receiver to his side and do so in a press man situation. Not 100% of the time, but that would be the bulk of his reps, which I think is great evaluatable film for those NFL teams to see him to be put in those situations and hold up very well. But part of that, if you're going to get in another man's face, you got to be prepared to put hands on him. And that's just the reality of it. And so, you know, certainly I think that, you know, the aggressive approach is the right approach. You know, certainly I'll also say that the punitive damage that goes along with it is not the same in the NFL ranks as it is here. There's a little bit, more at stake when you get that flag. So I do think it's teachable. And then the biggest thing is, you know, early in the down with his elite quickness and his long speed laid the down, I think to use hands at the line of scrimmage will be a critical piece for his success.
Yeah, it's a 4.4 40 guy, and you mentioned a lot there that reminds me of the Seahawks system in your description of Trey Brown. Coach, and again, Alex Grinch, former Wazoo defensive coordinator, now the D.C. at Oklahoma, is with us on the air. We're talking about Trey Brown, who the Hawks got in the fourth round over the weekend. Maybe go into further detail, Alex, and talk more about why you think he's a great fit for this particular system in Seattle.
Well, and that's the system, you know, myself, like so many, you know, the consistency in terms of the results they've had so over the course of a number of years, you know, that film goes on each week, you know, watching the Seahawks and, you know, watching what Coach Carroll does with his defensive staff. And so not to claim by any stretch of imagination I'm an expert on it, but in the same token have some knowledge in terms of what they ask their guys to do. And I think, you know, the multiplicity that way, you know, and some of the cover three stuff, the ability to play an outside third, but do so from the line of scrimmage. And that's a difficult trait for some, you know, some individuals, and also obviously the, you know, in certain situations, more so than not to play man coverage. And when you can play man, it really opens up a lot of the things that you do from a defensive standpoint that you have to cross off if you can't. And so I think this is a guy that I would suggest that they saw on film, one that holds up in that area very well, but has played some elite receivers in the college ranks. Obviously, the speed and all those things, and the you know, the balls come a little bit different up at that level, and so it's like anything, all these young pros, there's an adjustment that has to take place. But no, I think they see a guy that, like you said, can play on that island and do a lot of the things that they've been so successful with.
I saw an amazing stat, which is a testament to your program and a testament to the type of schedule you play in the regular season and the postseason. He has played with or against 9 of the last 13 first-round draft pick wide receivers. I mean, that is unbelievable. So how has he performed against those elite of the elite, and was there a type that he fared against better and a type that maybe he struggled against more?
Yeah, I don't think it would be as simple as to say thumbs up or thumbs down, you know, based on a specific individual. You know, I do think that, you know, the tape would show, you know, and in some of those instances, I think back to LSU 2 years ago, which you know, we struggled mightily. So did everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Against that group. But if, you know, that's a real good one against Jamar Chase, the bulk of that game, and you see a guy that you know, holds up very well. That this one that you know, of all our issues, you wouldn't circle Trey Brown that night. And give him a lot of credit for that. But, you know, I just think for a guy, when you have the short area quickness to put yourself in, you know, a good position early in the down, so at the snap of the football, he has that. And then he also possesses the long speed to put yourself in a positive situation as the down progresses. It gives you the best chance to be successful.
Yep.
When the ball is in the air. And so in all those situations, you know, the skill set may change wide receiver wise. You know, some are the shorter, quicker guys, some are the taller guys, but has the ability again to you know, run with the guy that's trying to blow the top off, and also the agility and quickness to being a positive situation against the make-you-miss type of wideout.
Well, Alex Grinch again is with us, the defensive coordinator for Oklahoma. You mentioned LSU, and I'll just say this, that you spanked Florida good this year in a Cotton Bowl. You got 3 picks off Kyle Trask, who the Buccaneers think could be the next Tom Brady down there in Tampa Bay. So obviously you're doing something right down there, because the numbers overall for the Big 12, when we think of elite college defense by conference, the Big 12 is not one that we think of a lot. How difficult is it, honestly, and maybe this is even a testament to Trey, how difficult is it to play defense in that conference against those offenses week in and week out?
You know, it's not completely dissimilar, you know, going back to, you know, I mentioned Washington State, and kind of bring up, you know, if you go back to our initial time there, you're talking about 2015. You think about the quarterbacks that were, you know, the Jared Goffs of the world in that conference. You think about the offense and what Oregon, and obviously a more pro-style offense at UW. And so in so many ways, not completely dissimilar when at a place like in Oklahoma in the Big 12, where it just seems like week in and week out, you're going to be challenged that way. And you know, by the way, again, going back to the Pacific Northwest and talking about, you know, like a Stanford, again, I go back to and been gone just a couple of years now, but, you know, it you couldn't possibly play defense in the Pac-12. And obviously there's certain programs that disproved it. And we tried, and like you said, we didn't do a very good job against Washington, but had pretty good success against, you know, the rest of that conference, even at a Washington State. So for us here, that a lot of that, and the only reason I bring that up, you know, our confidence level when we took over to Oklahoma was just that. It was, you know, if you can do it there, is there enough same as to give us a chance to be successful? And when it was specific to Trey, you know, they don't run you over if they can run by you. And so what you find out is a guy that can make plays in space. And so much of the game is played that way. Trey has that speed. He has that quickness, like I mentioned, the willingness to be physical as well. And so in an open style of play that by the way, the entire country kind of faces now, you know, guys like that are at a premium.
Coach, in August, you said a year ago he wasn't a leader by example. He had his good days, but he was too willing to just have a bad day. But all of a sudden, you're seeing a guy with just a work ethic and a want to. Why did that change happen?
Yeah, I think, you know, that would be a quote I could probably say for about, you know, 75% of the roster as they transition from a young guy to an older guy. But I would say it paints a completely accurate picture of Troy Brown. And part of that is, you know, this is an elite program at the University of Oklahoma, and historically and in recent years was not playing an elite level of defense. And so, you know, the room that he walked into, specifically the defensive back room, was one that, you know, he found his way at the top of the depth chart very quickly. And it's not because you had to beat out seven guys or eight guys. You know, it's because you possess those skill sets that we've already mentioned. And so, you know, regardless of your performance that particular day, you're going to find, you know, there's a pretty good chance the depth chart's not going to change in the next one. And so a lot of that is understanding, okay, what's your bar? And as a young guy, that's okay to have that bar. It's not ideal, but it's probably okay to have that bar because, you know, you're trying to, there's so much from a learning standpoint and maturing standpoint that goes along with it.
Yeah.
But as you transition to an older guy in the program, if you're willing to raise that bar, and I'm talking obviously, you know, as a defense or as a program, we're trying to do that as well. But, just, you know, specific to Trey, is, are you going to do the things necessary to you know, raise a bar that's not created by a teammate, you know, that is pushing you from a depth standpoint. And that was a transition for him, and one that he did. I give him a lot of credit. I mean, we're on this phone call right now because he did that.
Yep.
And so, you know, the stakes go up obviously at the next level, you know, I think a guy that, you know, goes with a completely different mindset than 2 years ago, you know, just being okay. Maybe being a starter. Now he's going to have to fight for it, and I think he has the right mindset to do that.
Well, he made, Coach, before you go, Alex Grinch again with us, Oklahoma D.C., former Cougar defensive coordinator. Trey Brown in some ways made Seahawk history because he became the first corner drafted by the Schneider-Carroll era that does not have 32-inch arms. So he's at, I believe, 30 3/8. So they changed their philosophy just for this guy. So it kind of shows you in some ways what they think of him. But, Alex, before you go, we appreciate you doing this. We mentioned at the top that we're both dog fans, all right? And I do want to bring up a Husky-related topic, but I promise you it has nothing to do with the Apple Cup and your time in Pullman, okay? We got a defensive back in Seattle who you know very well. Buki Radley-Hiles is now in the Husky secondary, and he was with you for the last couple of years. Tell us about Brendan and what this kid brings to Montlake.
Well, and it you know, there's not a better person. He's played, you know, again, on the same stages that I just mentioned, you know, at a place like in Oklahoma. You're talking about playoff games. You're talking about, you know, conference championship games. You know, in my time here, you know, started, darn near every single one of those games for us, played well. He is smart. He's instinctive. Did I mention he was a good kid? I can't say that enough. Is a guy that, wanted to get back on the West Coast, a guy that we're rooting for. I don't have a negative thing to say about him. And obviously I think he went to, a great program and what Coach Lake does and the success that they've had on defense. There's no reason to not think it won't be a great fit.
Do you know more about why he transferred, by the way?
Oh, those are, individual decisions that guys make. I know he got a great landing spot, and so I'll root from afar.
Gotcha. Alex Grinch, great stuff. Appreciate this. Best of luck down the road, and I know you'll be keeping an eye on Trey Brown here in Seattle, man. Appreciate you doing this, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thanks, guys.
You bet. Alex Grinch with us. We're going to break and find out about the first Seahawk draft pick, Robin Hook. They call him the captain, play-by-play voice of Western Michigan football. Talking about Dwayne Eskridge next, right here on Soft.